This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and the author of more than 20 books, including The Flip Side of Feminism, What Conservative Women Know and Men Can't Say, an important new book that exposes the lies and anti-family agenda of the feminist movement. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
When I went to college, the principal interaction of men and women was called the date. A man would phone and invite a girl to be his guest for supper or to go to the movies. She would accept. They would have an enjoyable evening. He would pay the cost and then see that she got home safely. Maybe there would be a goodnight kiss at the door. The New York Times had a recent article stating that dating is now obsolete. Dating has been replaced by hanging out or hooking up. In this new world of internet posts and commitment-free sex, there are no clear rules. We can blame a lot of this change on the feminist movement. Feminism has frowned on old-fashioned courtship and taught young women there's something humiliating about a man buying a girl's dinner. Many young men today are afraid to ask a girl for a date. Some young women have begun to believe girls can get through life without men. Feminism has taught them that men are not really necessary after all. The disappearance of dating is a problem for young people of both genders who find it nearly impossible to find a spouse. But young women have biological clocks and they can't wait forever if they want to have a family. Traditional dating worked to their advantage. The custom of restricting access to themselves gave women a tremendous amount of power. Men were forced to work to pursue women. Traditional dating also showed women which men were capable of supporting a family, and that's what she ought to know before she starts a serious relationship. What men want from women is sex and their own children, and women hold all the cards to set the term of a relationship. The best way for women to fix this situation is to insist on the traditional rules and even on old-fashioned courtship. Traditional dating and courtship were a very good pathway to marriage, and that's what we need more of today.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. The new book by Suzanne Venker and Phyllis Schlafly, The Flip Side of Feminism, What Conservative Women Know and Men Can't Say, exposes the lies and anti-family agenda of the feminist movement. For more on the book or to join the blog conversation, go to eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorne. Glucosamine Chondroitin. Sea Cucumber. Colloidal Minerals. Superfam and Super Male Plex. Colon Enhancer. Our top-selling liquid, Cow Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at HerbalHealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit HerbalHealer.com today. HerbalHealer.com. That's HerbalHealer.com.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. Frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com has solutions. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at WhatLiesInYourDebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit WhatLiesInYourDebt.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
November 26, 2013, this is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the cold suburbs of Chicago. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com, where you will see the names of all the guests that I've ever had on the program since October 23, 2010, as well as links to their website. You may also see future guests. Just visit my website and click on the radio schedule button. Please also visit spingolaspeaks.info for links and files. One of our very talented listeners established the site to augment information not found anywhere else. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. I had a wonderful conversation with Werner Bach yesterday. He is going back to court on the 28th. I'm sure that he would appreciate your best wishes and prayers in his behalf. But otherwise, he's doing well. It was just wonderful speaking with him. We talked for about 45 minutes, and it was just really wonderful. We will take calls in the second hour when I open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is WVFoundations.org. Rodney, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning from the behind the Iron Curtain of California, Deanna. It's great to be back on Spingola Speaks. Things are just going very well. It's cold out here in California this morning. No snow, but it is just perishingly cold. Things are great. It's my favorite time of year, just before Thanksgiving, going into the holidays. My wife is home. I'm getting ready to make Thanksgiving dinner with my oldest daughters. I'm on the Spingola Speaks show. I just spoke with a mutual friend last night who talked to our mutual friend, Wayne from Canada, and hopefully I'll be speaking with him maybe today or tomorrow, or hopefully before the holiday. And things are going very well. Obviously, I'm backed up from being away, you know, for 5 weeks taking care of my wife who is taken ill. But I'm getting things caught up. The website's getting caught up. I'm responding to emails. But generally speaking, things are going very well. And thank you for having me on this morning.
You're welcome. And so many people have emailed me or called me about Wayne, and honestly, I was just so relieved when you told me a week ago or so that you had confirmation that he was okay, and I've just been so worried.
Well, yeah, I do have a. I will say I have a mutual. He and I have a mutual a friend, and of course, I had lots of emails backed up when I was away caring, you know, for my wife, and I talked to the same mutual friend. I don't want to really get into and violate, you know, Wayne's privacy or anything of that nature, but I know a lot of people are worried and praying for him. And I will say that I have every reason to believe he is fine, just taking a breather. And I think everybody should just be aware of that and, you know, pray for him. And I think from what I'm told, he's well aware of everyone's emails, and I think he'll be just fine. And let's just let's give him some time.
Sure. Well, he was under attack just before I interviewed him last.
Yes.
And so, of course, I was worried. Everybody is worried about every, you know, we care about each other. And,
yes.
And that's important.
Yes, Deanna, you know, we've all been in that situation. You've been in that situation. I'm in that situation from all different fronts, as you know, because not only do I am active in, you know, revisionism and history, I'm active politically, and I've had people at my house, you know, I've had people confront my children. It's not fun. And, you know, I think we need to, and of course, Wayne lives in a country that, you know, doesn't afford the First Amendment protections, and people, you know, in the United States need to understand that our comrades in Canada, you know, the commissars can come to their house and haul them out and, you know, take them to jail like they did our good friend Werner. And, you know, on just, you know, on just speech, on thought crimes. And so, you know, I just talked to Fred Tobin on my show over the weekend. And, you know, there's another example, you know, Fred Tobin has been jailed for thought crime. And so I think it's hard, Deanna, for Americans to understand what our comrades in other countries who don't have the First Amendment protections that we do. I think it's hard for them when I hear them say, well, they should just say this or do that and say this and say that. They don't understand that, you know, it's bad here in the United States, but it's worse in Australia and Europe and Canada, where the commissars come. They monitor the blogs, and they monitor what you say on these internet podcasts. They monitor your email. And if you say something against the chosen or against the power elite, they haul you off in irons and they put you in a gulag.
Sure. Well, even Guillermo Rudolph, who I had on the program on November 14th, was living in this country, this so-called free country, and they hauled him off and jailed him. So, and we have to look at the situation with Ernst Sundel, who was also living in this country and was hauled off. And so, of course, we worry about people when they just kind of vanish. And anyway, we all love Wayne and send him our very best wishes.
Yes, if I have the opportunity to speak with him or communicate, I've already sent him my very best wishes and thoughts, and hopefully I'm hoping to have a chance to communicate with him in some manner before the holiday. And I have confirmation that he is well and just taking some time off. So, and I hope he's okay with me, you know, just telling people this based on what information I have, because I know people are worried about him. I think that we can leave it at that.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for that report. I get very sentimental when I think about the possibilities, and I just, I'm just very relieved and grateful.
Yes.
Okay. So your subject today is about art.
Yes, you know, this recent, they called it the scandal, the Gerlich art scandal, in Munich, where they, this elderly gentleman of 80 some odd years old was on a train, and, you know, they started out as a tax, you know, as a tax matter, tax evasion scandal. And of course, they suppressed it for a while, and they went into his apartment, in Munich, and found this, what they call about 1400 paintings. And of course, it's been all over the media, Der Spiegel, DW Journal, the German media, which I monitor, as well as other media sources. The British media has covered it. Even the Polish media, in fact, the government of Poland has demanded a complete inventory of the art that was in there. It's a fascinating story, and it's one of those stories that people should stop and really look at it and say, wait a minute. Because we have been told so much about those evil, quote, Nazis. And keep in mind, the term Nazi is a derogatory term. The proper term is National Socialist.
And they never called themselves Nazis. That was something that was applied to them by the Allies.
Absolutely, and of course by the Reds and everybody else. But you know, I think it is important that we look at this art. And of course, we've talked about art on your show before. I'm going to recap some key points as we talk about this Gerlich art scandal. We look at this in the broader context and say, wait a minute, we need to ask a lot of questions, and this clarifies a whole lot of lies that we've been told throughout history. And also, you may know, Dan, I think, oh, we're going to break. We'll pick it up on the other side.
Be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
Our infrastructure is failing, and our government is corrupt. We have some hard times ahead. If there was no way to get medical help, what would you do? How are you going to protect the safety of your family during a crisis when there are no doctors, hospitals, emergency services, or supplies? Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a nano-engineered silver unlike any other silver product on the market today. This technology has advanced antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal properties. And more than 200 independent clinical studies and trials have shown that it's effective in over 500 different uses. Supernatural Silver can be stockpiled and stored for over 10 years. And in a collapse, it could be priceless. It can be used daily to fight off colds, flus, and other pathogens, and yet it's powerful enough to combat some of the most deadly diseases in the world today. Make sure your home is well stocked with Supernatural Silver. To order, go to SupernaturalSilver.com. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code SILVER2013 for 20% off, and like us on Facebook.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations, and his website is wvfoundations.org. Okay, take her away.
Well, you know, we were, talking. Look, if we stop and look at this, you know, when this story broke, well, first, you know, the German government knew about it, and then they released it, you know, the details later. But this is an excellent story in which people should stop, pause, and not just focus on, oh, there's 1,400 paintings, and we obviously got to, you know, seize those and give those back and then charge this man taxes and such. Actually, the manner and form, I have to say, I don't disagree with the manner and form. I don't disagree entirely with the manner and form in which the German government is handling it, where they're taking a very slow approach, because they're in quite a conundrum legally. We'll kind of get into that. As you're aware, Deanna, you may be aware, and your listeners may be aware, Hollywood is doing yet another anti-Nazi. You know, they Quentin Tarantino did the, you know, the Inglourious Bastards movie where all the Jews went around, you know, killing and assassinating the evil Nazis and shot, you know, in the climactic scene at the end, you know, shot up the theater, went and shot Adolf Hitler at the end. Of course, all fantasy. And then, of course, they always, Hollywood has to do at least one anti-Nazi movie a year to keep that myth going. You never see an anti-Soviet film made. You never see a film made about the Stalin's Holocaust of Ukrainians. There is no Shoah project dedicated to the Ukrainian survivors in the 1930s. I mean, it is interesting. Well, they have another film coming out, and I think George Clooney's in it, and it's called Monument Men. It's due to be released, I believe, in February. And this couldn't come at a better time because, and I don't know if you're familiar with this film, they're running previews in theaters now, and it's about these heroic museum, some of them are Jews, and some of them actually stole art and brought it back to the United States, and some stolen, these were U.S. Art, supposedly art experts, some of them were Jews in U.S. uniforms that went around Europe, and supposedly to save the art from destruction by the evil Nazis at the end of the war. And let's understand, the National Socialists and the German government went to great lengths to preserve art. They put it in salt mines to preserve it from Allied bombing. It was Allies that destroyed art. And, you know, they destroyed the greatest cultural city in Europe called Dresden. They firebombed it and destroyed it. But, you know, we all know that. But this movie coming out is called Monument Men, and it's interesting because it was the Monument Men that detained Mr. Gerlitz's father, Hildebrand, and actually cleared him and returned a large number of these paintings to him. And we're going to talk about that throughout the course of this show. But let's look at a little bit of, you know, and I just did a show with Jason Erb. I was supposed to debate Anthony Michaels over the weekend, and Mr. Michaels got ill, so I just did a show.
Oh, that's too bad. What did he have?
I don't know. It might be cold feet. I don't know. But anyway. I'm joking.
I know but, you're joking.
I'm just teasing, but
I know.
I did the show anyway, and as I said in that show, you cannot actually approach a subject without putting it in a historical context. And there is so much misinformation going on about Mr. Gerlitz, about the son, which is Cornelius. He's the 80-year-old son who has this apartment, and he has all of this artwork in which was his father's. It passed from his father, Cornelius, who was killed in an auto crash in the 1950s. It went from the father to the mother. When the mother passed away in the 1960s, the son, Cornelius, has had it ever since. But what's interesting is there's a lot of all of this, you know, this Jew. I just see the word Jewish narrative in the chat room. That's absolutely correct. Well, you know, the Jewish narrative is that Hildebrand Gerlitz, which under the Nuremberg decrees was a Mischling. He had a Jewish bloodline from his maternal grandmother. So under the Nuremberg decrees, he was a Mischling. Now, you see a lot of the misinformation in the media that said that he had actually been an art curator and had lost all of his jobs because of the Nazi race policies. It is absolutely patently false. Let me clarify the record as to his career, Hildebrand Gerlitz. He had been an art creator. And his family actually had lived and resided in Dresden, which interestingly, so did Otto Dix. And a large number of the paintings that Gerlitz has, you know, to this day, Cornelius, are painted by Otto Dix. And I'm going to highlight Otto Dix. He was classified as a degenerate artist. And let me pause here just for a minute. Some of the things that have come out that a person should be asking as we look at this Gurlitt art scandal is, we have been trained, people have been indoctrinated to say, the Nazis persecuted, you know, and, you know, threw all of the Jews, whether, you know, all anybody was Jewish, they couldn't work, they were mistreated, they were persecuted, they were genocided into the so-called Holocaust. Well, we're going to see this Gurlitt situation proves that false. The Nazis rounded up all of the artists and persecuted them, and they weren't allowed to participate in any in their trade in Germany. We're going to see that that is false. We've also been told that these evil Nazis rounded up any art that they didn't like and destroyed it. Well, we now know here's 1,400 paintings, of which, according to some of the records, at least 700 of these had been listed as having been destroyed by those evil Nazis. Now they're saying, uh-oh, doesn't look like the Nazis destroyed that art after all. We're also going to find out that the German government has internal memorandums that say, we don't think that, you know, 80% of the art that historians, court historians, and propagandists in Hollywood have been saying that those evil Nazis destroyed was actually destroyed at all. It all ended up in this type of a situation. They were brokered, sold, and actually stolen after the war by, you know, Allied trophy hunters. I have another list of the top 10 missing pieces of art in the world. And only one of them is from the World War II era. And it actually disappeared when the war was over. But getting back to and these are just some of the historical lies that we're learning or should be learning from this Gurlitt art scandal. Anyway, getting back to Hildebrand Gurlitt, his family was from Dresden, but he went on and became a curator at the König Albert Museum in Zakau in 1925. And he was fired in 1926. Now, excuse me, but the National Socialists didn't come to power until January of 1933. That was one of his first jobs that he was hired and fired. Then he moved on, and 1928, he was fired again at another exhibit. And again, 1928, that's 6 years? Five, 6 years before the National Socialists came to power.
Sure.
The only position that Mr. Gurlitt, the father, Hildebrand, lost as a result of the new government was that he moved to Hamburg when he got fired in 1928, and he became the curator of the art association there, and he lost that position when the entire art association was dismissed when the new government came to power. But what's interesting is, we'll pick it up on the other end.
All righty, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, DO, and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
It's no secret that Big Brother is spying on your web activity. VPNForAll.com protects your internet from tyranny with military-grade encryption. VPNForAll keep no records of your browsing, so you leave no trace. VPNForAll are in Holland, free from the NSA and police state jurisdiction. Easy to sign up and use. It stops all data mining. Go to VPNForAll.com immediately and stay safe. That's VPN, the number 4, all.com.
Is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org.
Well, as we were talking before the break, we've heard there's been a lot of misinformation about Hildebrand Gerlich losing his jobs as curators in various museums as a result of Nazi policies. Well, actually, he had lost those jobs prior to the NSDAP coming to power. And then in one case, in 1930, I'd missed one, Deanna, he had lost one due to financial losses of a museum. But the one case he had lost his job with the entire board of the Art Association in Hamburg, including him as the curator, were replaced. But, you know, there's been situations where people have fired, but it's been, it resulted in a better job and a promotion. And that's actually what happened to Hildebrand Gerlich, because when the National Socialists came to power, he was appointed as a dealer for none other than the Führer Museum in Linz. Now, I've talked about this in other shows. Adolf Hitler was planning the development of what would have been the grandest cultural city in Europe for Linz, you know, which he considered his hometown. In fact, he had plans. Hitler had not planned on ruling the world. He planned on retiring and dedicating his remaining years to developing and dedicating it to art developing the cultural city of Linz. And he was going to build this massive art center called the Führer Museum. And Hildebrand Gerlich was appointed as an art dealer for the Führer Museum in Linz. And he traded modern art. Keep in mind, modern art was being replaced in National Socialist Germany. Now, you know, certainly the NSDAP, if you follow the Jewish narrative, as was posted about the Jewish narrative in the chat room, if the National Socialists did what the Jewish narrative says, went around confiscating and stealing people's property and burned it, then why were they hiring Mischling, for instance, because that's what he was a Mischling, to interact, to actually purchase it at the then value and dispose of it legally. I mean, let's think about this rationally. The National Socialists hired and appointed dealers to legally replace the art that had been deemed degenerate, to basically replace that that ugly Weimar culture that was destroying society. They could have marched right in. They could have basically imposed, because Weimar didn't have a First Amendment like we did. It's important for people to understand. You cannot look at history through modern-day lenses, nor can you pass a judgment. You cannot. It's like the United States saying, we're going to go in and bring democracy. We're going to bring our system to other countries. It's kind of interesting. And in the cases where we have subjugated these other nations, has there been an absolute First Amendment in the new Iraqi constitution and these other countries that we have immorally and illegally invaded and subjugated? We actually didn't do it now, did we? But Germany didn't have that. Under Weimar, they didn't have it. And of course, the National Socialists maintained the Weimar Constitution. They very well could have done what the Jewish narratives say they did. And they didn't, Deanna. They hired art dealers to purchase them and dispose of them and take them out of the public domain. Much like what we do, we require convenience stores and other places to cover up pornography. And that's what the National Socialists did. And this is where Hildebrand Gerlich probably was the best job in his life. He certainly would not have been able to acquire this huge art collection if he had not had that position appointed by none other than the Reich Minister of Public Enlightenment and Propaganda, Dr. Joseph Goebbels, who was also the chairman and the director of the Reich Chamber of Culture. So I think we need to really put it in perspective, historical perspective, that even though he was a Mischling, he was functioning legally within the German system, and the art that he acquired was legally acquired. He brokered some of it, and we're going to hear from him because he wrote an essay in the 1950s, shortly before he was killed in the car crash. He knew it was acquired legally because he had every intention of displaying it, but he was killed before he could display it. Now, in some cases, he acquired art himself. There were several occasions where he purchased art, $10,000. In some cases, he bought it via Swiss francs. In other cases, he bought it for the Reichsmarks. But there was documented transactions where he actually acquired art himself, and other cases where he brokered it. And this is what is interesting. And this goes towards the Allied Control Council's regulations after the war. Let's remember, the Allied Control Council, when Germany was defeated, reviewed a lot of German laws. Now, for the most part, they gutted German law. In 1943, the Allies issued a decree that voided a lot of art sales. And as a matter of fact, they issued a decree that gave Allied occupation forces the right to go into even private German homes and declare that they could say that art that was on the walls in German homes could be suspect. They made one exception. They made one exception in 1945. They upheld the laws under National Socialism as to the disposal and brokering and sale of degenerate art. And this is where Mr. Gerlich today has his legal claims of maintaining this art. And I'll get to that later. But I think it's important for your listeners and people to understand it relates to what the National Socialists had a specific law that was passed as it related to degenerate art, and the Allied Control Council upheld that law that allowed for the removal from the public domain as long as it was purchased and brokered and sold and the owners compensated. They upheld that law. And it's fascinating. And of course, there's other legal issues that Mr. Gerlich is going to bring, and he's talked about race. He's going to challenge. He's not going to submit or voluntarily return any art. And that is the movement. That's where the German government is moving right now. They're in a conundrum. They said out of the 1,400 paintings, they're saying that the best they can determine is maybe 500 are suspect, and they've asked him if he would voluntarily turn over any of the paintings, and he said, you know, affirm nine, and I don't blame him at all. You know, this whole concept of Nazi, quote, Nazis looting art is absolutely bogus. When the United States raped, robbed, and pillaged, and has items that are on display that belong, for instance, Hermann Göring's Reichsmarshal's baton is on display. I believe it's on display at United States Air Force Academy in Colorado. I think it's at Colorado Springs. Don't hold me to that, but it's one of the academies. I believe it's the Air Force Academy. Another one of the batons, I believe, Field Marshal's batons, is at West Point. And under the Geneva Convention, You're not allowed to steal a prisoner of war's personal effects. We did it. We took it. As a matter of fact, Grand Admiral Dönitz's baton was stolen from him, and he wrote a letter to General Eisenhower asking for it to be returned, and his letter was never even responded to. To his credit, General Patton, when Field Marshal Rommel, whose son just passed away a couple of weeks ago, by the way, Manfred Rommel just passed away 2 weeks ago. He'd been suffering from Parkinson's disease. But Field Marshal Rommel, died in 1944, and U.S. troops went to the home of his widow. His son was about 16 and was a French POW at the time, so his wife was home alone, and a bunch of thuggish U.S. Army troops went in and looted the house, and his wife was just scared to death and was just letting them take everything and took a bunch of Rommel's personal effects. General Patton recovered Rommel's personal effects, returned them to Lucy Rommel, and posted a guard outside Rommel's house.
Amazing. Alrighty, we are going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
What do you need? You need paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 paracord. 550 tensile strength. Military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 lengths. You can purchase yours now at CampingSurvival.com. Lowest prices on paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black paracord, 1,000 feet, only $39.83 right now on CampingSurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from CampingSurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation, CampingSurvival.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is Don Wiskin. I had a massive heart attack at 42. The doctors could do nothing but send me home with disability as my future. I reversed the damage done to my heart with a natural remedy. I am now 58 and contribute my good health today to Extendovite. You have heard my messages for many years. A lot of people have taken Extendovite and improved their health issues. We are surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and chemicals that our body cannot eliminate. As we age, they can age us faster. Clean yourself out with Extendovite, available in capsule or liquid form. Get a 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. You can live a longer, healthier life just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org.
Yeah, as I was talking about before the break, Deanna, the German government's in quite a pickle because they have statute of limitations issues. They can't allege that the son has stolen anything because he inherited these paintings. These paintings were reviewed. As a matter of fact, his father, Hildebrand, was detained with a bunch of these paintings by the U.S. Army, the monuments, you know, the monuments men that are going to be all talked up and memorialized in this upcoming Hollywood movie. And anyway, I wonder if there's going to be a scene in the movie of them detaining Hildebrand Gerlich and sending him on his way with the paintings that he had rightfully purchased. Keep in mind, his role, Hildebrand Gerlich's role, was that these paintings that were these modern art paintings that were on displays in various museums were being removed. Then he would broker their sale from the owners, the artists, to take them out of the public domain. In some cases, they were sold to foreigners or to other private persons, or he purchased them. And it's his position, and it is his heirs' positions that he purchased them legally under German law, and that specific German law was upheld by the Allied Control Council. And the number, I may have misstated the number, is 600 pieces. The German government are trying to say, well, why don't you just go ahead and donate these back to people or their heirs that, you know, that sold them. And that's the number, 600. I'm looking at the article from DW Journal, and he is saying absolutely not. They were legally purchased, and the none other than the Allied Control Council codified that law. He also purchased and brokered art by, you know, Jews and Mischlings that were seeking to immigrate. And this is where the absolute misinformation comes on looting and wrong. You know, there's an old saying, you know, my grandfather used to say, you know, how do you know what something's worth? Something, you can tell what something is worth is when, you know, how much something will give you for it right now, cash, when you need it. You had people that were wanting to immigrate. They had things they were selling, and they made the conscious decision to sell those items based on what they could get for it at the time. You know, now you have their heirs coming back long after their grandparents or great-grandparents or even in some cases great-great-grandparents are long dead and saying, I don't think my great-grandparents or grandparents got a fair price for that item. And they're trying to place the value, trying to get, you know, what they're saying is fair market value based on today for something that, you know, they got, their heirs got fair market value for in 1936, 37, 38, 39, and 1940 when they were immigrating. Deal is a deal. It's kind of interesting, you know, none other than the late Elizabeth Taylor, who herself converted to Judaism, ended up with one of these paintings. And not a Gerlich painting. But that you look, she ended up with one of these paintings, and one of these Jewish heirs came after her, and she spent a fortune in court, and she got to keep the painting.
Wow. Well, even the Johnsons ended up with glassware from Hitler. I mean, it was just the T forces, the Allied T forces, went through Germany and just scoffed up everything that they possibly could and put it in a great big warehouse, and then pretty much opened the warehouse and said, come on in, soldiers, take whatever you want. We'll help you ship it back to the United States. Not literally, but that's basically how it went. Well, I covered that in my upcoming book.
In Portland, there was one of these Allied Jews in an American uniform, and he brought home a bunch of art. In fact, I sent a letter to the Portland Art Museum, and they have a bunch of his art. And that he basically stole from Germany. And it's in the Portland Art Museum. But let me just segue a little bit. I just leaned away from the mic. You're going to hear. But there are some excellent books that I want to recommend to the listeners. One is Art in the Third Reich. It's by Berthold Heinz. Now, remember I said on prior shows the old proverbial adage that when you're getting books and material about the National Socialist period, you have to look for diamonds in the proverbial cat box. These books are pretty good. There's a lot of diamonds in them. But Art in the Third Reich by Berthold Heinz. There's Art of the Third Reich by Peter Adam. And then there is a very good book called German War Art, 1939 to 1945, by William Yanni and Dr. Keith Dills. Now, the German War Art, and the couple things I'm kind of digressing a little bit because I want to talk about who really stole art and looted art. The German War Art book documents the fact that the Allies not only stole art and shipped it back and kept it, they eventually returned some of the German war art paintings back to the Federal Republic of Germany before the reunification, but not all of it. There is still an immense number of what they would call German war art paintings of field marshals and German leaders and such. But they also smashed and destroyed Arnold Breckner sculptures and statues. They went so far as to destroy monument headstones. So when we talk about who really destroyed art, the Jewish narrative is that the Nazis went around and burned paintings and destroyed artworks. And yet we can see an example in this Munich art, the so-called Gurlitt art scandal, in which they say, oh, they found 1,400 looted artworks, but yet they just use that to, for shock and awe, to per, you know, to keep this Jewish narrative going. There's no loot. There's no looted art in Mr. Gurlitt's apartment. As a matter of fact, they even used pulled up a bunch of the articles. They said he was stashing the art in his apartment. Well, tell me, Deanna, do you stash your personal property in your residence? No, you keep your personal property. Keep in mind, in Germany and a lot of European countries, private, you know, we talk about single family homes as opposed to apartments, there's only about 40%, maybe even 30% at this point, of people have single family homes like we do in the United States. A vast majority of people live in these, what we would call apartments or townhouses or condos. So, you know, he has this vast art collection. Somebody that would open the door would say, oh, this guy's a pack rat or a hoarder and he's stashing or whatever. But they're, what they're doing is trying to paint him in a very negative light, like he was trying to hide something that didn't belong to him. The fact of the matter is, this was inherited art collection that passed from his father to his mother and from his mother to him when his mother passed away. And, you know, by all accounts, he's a very thrifty individual. We're gonna, I got some information. Der Spiegel did an interesting write-up on him, and they tried to paint him as some sort of basically, you know, person that's not well-balanced. And I want, let me just go with that really quick. This is how they're describing him. They're saying Munich. Now, this is kind of interesting. They're not calling him an art thief anymore, which is kind of interesting because they, especially as the more information has come out, that he, you know, the law is now, they're looking, well, the law is on this man's side. And now they're saying they're not seizing it. They're basically, they're going to hold it. They've appointed a commission of experts to, one, look at the art, research it, and to analyze the law, including the Allied Control Council declaration that that said that the laws as to degenerate art disposition were to be upheld. So now they've appointed an expert commission to basically review it, and I think they've already even released 300. They said 300 of the paintings are going to go to him regardless. And, of course, already the Central Council of Jews in Germany have demanded to have a seat on that expert commission. So they're going to get a kosher butcher that runs some sort of kosher butcher shop, and that'll be their expert. And all he has to do is go there and say, they're ours, they're ours, they're ours. You know, that's all they're going to do. And but anyway, this is how they did a write-up on him. They said Munich art collector lives in the past. Now, you know, I have no problem calling him an art collector because that's what he is. But it says that he doesn't use the internet. I don't think that's bad. And he doesn't own a television. Well, you know what? Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. It says he does.
He's got integrity.
Yes. It says that he collects newspaper articles. That's fine. He listens to the radio. Well, good for him. Maybe he's listening to our show. No, because we're not on radio. Well, you're on radio. I'm not.
Okay. Well, we're going to our top of the hour break. We'll be back at 6 minutes after the hour.